Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Well, if you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, we're so thankful for this opportunity to have the Holy Ghost to take the text that we're teaching from and unfold it, meeting us right where we are and lifting us to the place you'd have us to be. Now, God, we pray that as you walk through this word by your Spirit, that we will have illumination and understanding, that we might practice these principles for profit and give you the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all the believers said, amen. God bless you. Because of our text today, and we're talking about a walk through the word of wisdom in the 12th chapter of Proverbs, we're going to be walking all through that proverb, so you can take your seat in honor of the Lord today. Proverbs chapter 12. I do pray that you have your pen and pad, so that you can take down these notes. I'm going to be dealing with these three areas found in the 12th chapter of Proverbs. One deals with the harm in words. The harm in words. And then I'm going to move on and deal with the help in words. Help in words. And then I want to talk lastly about the holiness
these areas and issues of concern come out the 12th chapter of Proverbs, and one of the wisest men who ever walked planet Earth shares some wonderful things concerning, again, the word that we will share with you today. And when we start off with dealing with harm in words, know this, my brothers and sisters, that there is great power in the words that are released from your lips. As a matter of fact, the word declares that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so don't underestimate the power that is within the spoken word. As again, we who are made in God's image and in his likeness understand that he himself showed us in Genesis the power of the spoken word. When he spoke and said, let there be, everything he said came to pass. The Holy Ghost took those words and literally brought them to pass. In the spiritual sense that we speak, the same thing happens on a lower level. We too have the ability through faith and the word of God to speak those things that be not as though they were. But what you must also recognize is, just as the power of the words we speak have death and life, yes, they are both spirit and natural realities. They are both formed and are manifested in both realities. So one of the things you must recognize is, when you learn to speak by faith, you may be speaking in the spirit realm, but it is going to find itself manifested in the natural realm. That's why a whole lot of us, what predicaments we're in, what situations we're in, where we are in life, are largely due to the words we have already spoken. And so when we learn how to speak positively and powerfully, correctly from the word of God, we will learn how to use words more effectively, both for the kingdom of God and for the help and the advancement of our own walk in ministry here on planet Earth. Look again at verse 6. I want you to see what the word says. It says, and we're talking about harm in words now. Verse 6 says, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Look at verse 23. It says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Now, my brothers and sisters, when this word talks about, again, the harm in words, you must understand that the harm in words happen in many arenas. It happens many times when we speak harmful words to others. We will note that the pain that is caused many times with our words can be just as powerful as a weapon used against folk. Have you ever had someone to say something to you that cut you in your heart, in your spirit, that brought you out of a wonderful state of ecstasy, a wonderful state of joy, a wonderful state of bliss, and brought you into the sorrows and the deep despairs of doom? Have you ever had someone to say something to you that it cut you so deep it almost took your wind from you? Have you ever had somebody to tell you something that hurt your heart, made tears come in your eyes, made your heart seem to flutter, made you feel as if you were having an anxiety attack? But don't fool yourself. There are many, many different damages that can be done and destructions that can be done through the power of harmful words spoken. You can literally destroy somebody's future by telling them things that, in, it depends on where they see you and how they see you and how they esteem you. That's why parents have to be so careful not to speak destructive words to their children and not to destroy their dreams. Just because nobody else in the family ever succeeded, ever finished college, ever became something great, doesn't mean because you got a young dreamer on your hand
that he or she cannot be the first one. Just because they have not been any others to take the lead role and be a trailblazer and be someone that the family in time to come would be able to look up to, don't mean that they can't be the first one. You remember Joseph and his brothers, don't you? When he told them about his dream and told them about how he saw himself in that dream and where they were in that dream, and they got mad because his dream was a prosperous dream, a powerful dream, an uplifting and inspiring dream, and they weren't the ones who were in the head spot of the dream. You got to be careful how you share your dreams and with whom you share your dreams, because I got news for you. Everybody don't want your dreams to come true. So many times, because of how people esteem you, if you say it's not going to happen, they'll believe it's not going to happen. But if you encourage them, and if you speak life into the situation, and if you do what God tells you to do and say, that will be a blessing to that life, you will see many times those words are held on to as lifeblood. And they will then grow and ultimately receive the fruition of those spoken words. But let's go back, if you will, to verse 6 and look at what it says. It says, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. And it literally means that those who are evil speaking, those who do not speak in love or in truth, their words, it's almost like they wait for an opportunity to cut you down. That's why even in your fellowships, you must be careful who you fellowship and associate with. Because you've got some folk just waiting for you to say something good so they can cut it down. Waiting for you to say something positive so they can interject something negative. Waiting for you to say something that is beyond the now and into the future so they can eject you back into the past and bring you into a place of low estate. You got some folk who are waiting to receive what you have to say and twist it and turn it until it cuts you like blood flowing out of an open wound. Listen at this, because I want you to understand something else. When you look at verse 13, look at what verse 13 says again. Verse 13 says, the wicked is snared. They are caught in a trap. Listen at this. By the transgression of his lips. You see, when a person talks foolish, you ain't got to do nothing foolish to them. Because their own foolish talk will catch them in their own foolish trap. Listen again at what it says. It says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of whose lips? His lips. You don't have to talk bad back to folk who talk bad to you. You don't have to talk down to folk who talk down to you. You don't have to talk derogatorily to someone who talks that same way to you. You don't have to talk disrespectful to someone who talks disrespectful to you. You've got to realize that they are going to be caught up in a trap that they've opened up with their own mouths. Look at what the rest of the word says. But the just shall come out of trouble. The just shall come out of trouble. Now what this says to me is this. First of all, you can be just and in trouble. Somebody didn't catch that. Because a lot of times, if you are just, you're going to be in trouble with this world, because what you stand for is against what this world stands for. And because this world's system is designed to take care of its own, and you are not of this world, you are just in this world representing another world, they will do all they can to trap you in their tricky traps of tradition and all of the other things they've got set up that would make it seem as though you're the wrong one. All you got to do is stand up against what's wrong, and you'll find yourself in trouble. See, all you got to do is get some real legislators who's really saved and born again to stand up in the places of legislation and say, men marrying men is wrong, women marrying women is wrong, gays are wrong, lesbians are wrong. Y'all getting quiet on me here. Is someone to stand up and say abortion is wrong. Listen, whatever the situation, if it doesn't line up with the word, all you got to do is stand up for the Lord and you find yourself in trouble. I'm not trying to to say we're perfect. I'm not trying to say we're always right. But we have a responsibility to stand up for that right. And when we do that, we will find ourselves in a predicament where folk will try to harm us and cause us trouble only because we stood for what was right. That's why good folk don't like to get involved in stuff. Neighborhood crime could be, I mean, almost eradicated if folk who were peeping out the window would report what they saw. You don't fool yourself. You got folk looking at you, watching you. You might not see them watching you. When you drive out your driveway, when you walk in your house, you don't know. When you go in the mall, when you go to your job, you got folk watching. While you sit here in church, you got folk watching you. But if they were to say, listen, I saw this car and I took down the license number because it was creeping too slow. Now, I don't know if they're guilty or not, but it was 9:59. I can tell you that because I was getting ready to watch the news. Are y'all listening to me here today? But no, we're afraid that somebody's going to do us wrong because we're standing up for right and we don't want no trouble. Look, I don't want no trouble. But did you see? Well, I don't want no trouble. I just don't want no trouble. Nobody don't say nothing about what happened. Somebody broke in my garage door about lawnmower 3 weeks ago. Asked anybody live with it. They see. Nobody said, I don't want no trouble. Well, listen again. But the just shall come out of trouble. Don't you know what the devil meant for evil? God means it for good. You see, if Joseph wouldn't have got in trouble, he wouldn't have been able to deliver his people, his brothers. He said, see, sometimes God lets you go through stuff to get you to stuff. And don't think that everything bad that happens to you is because you've done something wrong. Job can prove that bad things happen to good people. But in the end, God shows you that he's still in control. He's still in charge. And he can still conquer and change your every condition. The just shall come out of trouble. Touch your neighbor and say, the just is coming out. Hallelujah. That was three verses dealing with the harm in words. But I want to deal with three verses that deal with the help in words. Look at what verse 14 says. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Listen to what this word says. It literally says, a man shall be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth. The fruit of his mouth is a result of what he has spoken from his heart or from his mind or from his consciousness, and they are good things. And because of that, the end result of what he has spoken into existence. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you learn the power of the spoken word and operate in the word of God and attach your faith to the word of God, you can create things that do not yet exist by the power of your mouth. You will have the fruit of your mouth. Your situation, it's going to be what you speak into existence. Even as it relates to your own body. You can, listen, because you're made of dust and divinity, you have a right. In the dust, the flesh, the physical, you might be hurting. You might be in pain. That's a reality. It's a fact. But because you're also made of spirit, you then have the right to speak by faith. And you can either complain about the pain or you can speak the healing into existence. When folk ask you how you feel, you've got a choice. You can tell them what you're feeling, or you can speak by faith and tell them about your healing. So somebody's not hearing me. I'm trying to help you understand that you receive and reap the fruits of your lips, of your mouth, the things that come out of you. They begin to shape your worlds. They begin to form the realities of your existence. And all of that is connected to those faith-filled words that come out. If you don't believe you're going to make it, you have already begun to speak defeat upon your life. And continuing in that defeatist talk is going to bring that as a reality in and to your life. Look again at what this word says, because it says, a man shall be satisfied with good. Somebody say good.
Good.
By the fruit of his mouth. Don't you want some good stuff?
Yeah.
I said, don't you want some good stuff?
Yeah.
Then you got to learn to speak good stuff.
Yeah.
Because good stuff begets good stuff. And when you understand that you speak what God says and not just what you see, then you will discover that the fruit of your mouth will start producing some good stuff right in the midst of a bad situation. God has the power to turn your situation around while you're hurt, while you're down, while it's dark, while you're miserable. Begin to speak, it is light, it is day, I'm on top, I am blessed. I have everything God has given to me that pertains to life. You begin to speak what God says. And good will start attaching itself to you. Because when you speak good, good, say somebody call me. And good starts looking for the one who called his name. That's how we got to see we have the power to call good into our lives. We also have the power to call bad into our lives.
Yes.
And it comes through the words of our lips. Listen again, I want you to see something else. Let's look at verse 18. Still in the 12th chapter of Proverbs. The word says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is help. Listen, it starts off by talking about reckless words. See, that's why you need to be careful not to just say anything. Not to be irrational, not to be illogical, not to be silly, not to speak stupidity, not to be foolish. You need to be careful, because the word is, you're going to have to give an account for everything you say. And you just stop right now and think about all the foolish stuff you're going to have to give an account for. It would behoove you not to say another foolish thing for the rest of your natural born years. I mean, when you really think about that now, come on. If you understood that and then recognize that even when you say reckless words, irresponsible, irrational, illogical words, that you don't have the right to control the effects of those words. And when you say something and they go straight into somebody's heart and pierce their heart, pierce their soul, pierce their innermost parts, can I help you understand that I'm sorry don't make it better immediately? And you know, no matter how much you tell folk you forgive them, it depends on how deep the wound was. It may take a process to get that stuff out of you. When you speak, you're depositing almost as it were a poison-tipped spear, piercing them in the most intimate parts of their existence. And my brothers and sisters, just because you pull the sword out, just because you pull the spear out, doesn't mean you pull the effect out. And then people wonder, if you feel like that, what else do you feel like? See, that's why you've got to be careful when you get angry not to say things you really don't mean. Because you know, especially, and this is one of the ways the enemy uses family, loved ones, people in relationship, regardless of the nature of the relationship, business, personal, etc., to hurt and harm one another. Because when you know people good, you know their weaknesses. You know their weak areas. You know their insecurities. You know those places where they are vulnerable at. And when you are mad and upset
and you can't get through in being able to communicate and articulate your thoughts, you hit them below the belt in a place that's unfair to hit them. You hit them where you know it's going to hurt them. And then when you see the tears, and then when you feel the pain, and then when you see they literally drop because of lack of strength, then you want to come talking about, I'm sorry. But you know what you don't realize? That those words that were spoken will have an impact, and some of those words will go to those people, with those people, to their graves. Yes, they may have forgiven you, but the pain, I know they had to forgive you to go on so God could forgive them, but the pain is still there. And every time you get mad, they wonder if you're going to say anything like you said before. But I want you to understand, look at what this word says again. It says these reckless words, that they are reckless. Look at what it says. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But then it changes the picture from those who are negative and those who are unjust in their speakings to the positive and those who are of God. And look at what it says. It says, but the tongue of the wise is help. We're talking about help in words now. The tongue of the wise is help. You know, my brothers and sisters, we all have compensating differences. All of us may not be strong in the same areas. All of us might not be overcomers and overachievers in the same areas. But all of us experience defeat. All of us experience victory. All of us experience things that we must deal with on an individual and personal level. And the person who has the ability to speak healing and help and wholeness and victory and power and success to your situation are considered to be wise. Wise. You know, a timely word, a righteous word, in due season can do better than any medicine man can ever make. If you understand the power of a word spoken at the right time, that's why it's so important again for the people of God to know the word of God, because in any situation, when the Spirit of God sees you in a situation, you don't have to pre-plan what you're going to say when you go to certain things and places. All you have to do is have the word in your heart and be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and in that same moment, He will give you what you need to say that's going to be a blessing and minister to those people who are going through whatever they're going through. And that word is going to bring healing. It may not be an immediate healing. In other words, they might not stop jumping and shouting immediately, but they're going to think on those words, and those words are going to minister to their spirit, and little by little they're going to see the effects of a healing take place by the power of those words that were spoken at the right place and right time. Listen at this. Look at verse 25. The word says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Listen. But a good word maketh it glad. Now listen at this word again. Heaviness in the heart. When someone is filled with anxiety, it brings them down to a low degree, both of how they feel about themselves and the situation that they may be in. And my brothers and sisters, how many of you will recognize that you might be in a situation that you didn't cause? A bad situation. How many of you know that you might have been placed or put in a circumstance or situation that was not your doing, that was not what you had any part or place in, and it happened and it fell your lot to be a part of that? One of the things you've got to understand, regardless of whether it's your fault or not, when anxiety fills your spirit, when you're worried and upset about a thing, it drops your spirit. You can have everything else you want going well, but it can take one thing that can literally pull you out of that place of joy and peace and drop you down to a low state of sorrow. Yes.
And my brothers and sisters, when that happens, it weighs you to the point where you recognize it really doesn't matter about anything else. This, at the present moment, has got me in a bad place. And